Let me pray before we get started here tonight. If we can do that. Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for the fact that you are an unstoppable God. And Lord, I thank you for every student that's here, for the leaders. God, I thank you for the great night that we've had so far. And Lord, I pray that now as we dive into your word, as we finish talking about faith and talking through what this looks like for us, God, that you would you'd open our eyes and open our hearts to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with you about where we are, how we can move forward with you. God, be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got your Bible app, you got your actual Bibles, you can follow along right now by jumping on there. And this is the last week we're going to be talking about this series called Pitch Black, talking about faith, talking about having faith in the times when we can't see God working, faith in the unseen, trusting God when we can't see him, when we can't see what he's doing. And I'm just going to warn you guys a little bit right now that this is going to be a bit of a challenging night, hopefully, for you. And it might be slightly uncomfortable at some point. So you can have a few minutes to mull over that for a minute in terms of what that means. But we've been going through Hebrews 11 and the Hall of Fame of Faith, as it's known, with the giants of the faith, that these people that have a story, and we have a name and a story about their faith, and really about the character of God is what we see throughout their story. And we talked through this idea that faith always has a story. Faith always has a story. And it has to be more than just biblical doctrine or theology. It has to be more than just being able to give me the definition of the word faith. Like, that's great if you can. But if you say you have faith, what can you tell me as far as a story about your faith? Because faith is more than just a feeling. It's more than something that we just feel. It's more than that, and it's more than the song. And it can also contradict your feelings. Because if we go just on feelings, like, faith can contradict our feelings, because you may not be feeling like you want to do this, but by faith, hopefully, you know that maybe this is where God wants you to go. You can see that throughout Hebrews chapter 11 and some of those stories of people that, boy, if they were just following their feelings, they sure wouldn't have followed God and what he had asked them to do in that particular area. Moses is a great example. He literally looked at God and was like, you got the wrong dude. And that was completely what he was feeling. But his faith and what God wanted him to do by faith contradicted the feelings there. So faith is going to be more than a feeling. It's got to be more than that. And faith is more than the evidence. Faith is more than the evidence. Do you have faith when we say that? And you talk about your story. That's what we're asking for when we're talking about this question. Can the people in your life tell me a story about your faith? Because you can have evidence for faith and evidence for Jesus and all of that stuff. And that's great when we're talking about the historical aspect of it. And I can give you proof for faith from that perspective and talk through that and argue that. But it's more than that, because it's a personal thing. It's got to be a personal thing for you. Is faith a personal thing for you? To have a story, we have to be in a place of risk. What do I mean by that, in a place of risk? How many of you felt like maybe you've been in a place of personal risk? Do you know what I mean by that? You're putting yourself out there. You're knowing that there's a possibility that this is a complete, like, who knows? I definitely would have that. I was made fun of, ridiculed for wanting to be an animator for Disney from the time I was like 12. You can imagine up through high school what some of the jocks and stuff like that, some of the like comments that I got, you know, about those kinds of things. But you know what? I didn't care. I cared about other things. I got made fun of for other things, and that really did bother me. But for that particular one, I didn't care because I was irrationally passionate about it. I talked about that as well, being like over the top passionate about something to the point where you don't care what anybody else thinks. Why are we not like that with our faith? I was like that when it came to wanting to be an animator for Disney, and I was on the brink of actually doing it. And I knew, and I don't say this in a cocky way, I knew that I had probably the talent and ability, and I was actually at the school, at one of the top schools that they picked their animators from. I was on the brink of doing it, and something inside of me said, no, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing. And I couldn't explain it, and I didn't know why, but it was so strong that I didn't follow through with that, and I changed my major and all of those things. And God showed me the real path that he had for my life, and it took a place of risk, because up until that moment in college, when I decided to change my major, I thought I knew exactly how my life was gonna be laid out. I knew who I was gonna marry, I knew what I was gonna do, and what I was gonna do for a job and all that, and in a matter of like, literally like a month, both of those things got ripped out from under me, big time. And I was in a place of complete risk, not knowing what to do, and had no choice but to have faith in God. And if you're never in a position where you're at risk or you're uncomfortable, you never take those risks, sometimes you have no choice but to take a risk because life just does that to you. But if you're never uncomfortable or in danger, then don't necessarily expect to have a story. If you're never taking a risk for your faith, don't expect to have a story of faith. Everybody in Hebrews 11 took a risk for their faith. Every single person. Here's the other thing. The older you become, the less risk you will take. I'm telling you that right now. The older you become, the less risk you will take. And that's the truth from the time you were little, even up until now, right? Wilson, he don't care. He'll run around and like jump off the table. He doesn't care. You know, I'm like, dude, you are going to kill yourself. He's five. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't really get like the depth perception of like, I shouldn't jump from 10 feet, you know? But like at your age right now, I would think you would know better than that because you may not want to get hurt. The older you get, the less risk you'll take. But that's also the same when it comes to our faith. When it comes to your faith, the older you get, the less risk you will take when it comes to your faith, generally speaking. That's not like necessarily a rule. But generally speaking, now is the time in your life to take risks and obey God. And it starts at the very basic level of taking risks in your faith and obeying God and what he wants to do with your life in the here and now. And just growing in your faith and getting to know God now. And not waiting. And not saying, oh, I'll get this figured out when I'm older. Forget that. Get that out of your head. Take the risk now, and I dare you to grow in your faith now and take your faith seriously now and to see what happens. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. This is the only passage we're reading tonight. Listen to this. It says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and lets us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Faith is a race. It's a great analogy. It's a biblical analogy. Faith is a race. We all know people who are running the race. We all know people who are running the race. But sometimes, something happens. Something happens. And let's get real for a second. There's empty chairs. You know, and I know, we know, people, whether it's from this room or the church or whatever, as a whole, people that you know in your life that maybe used to be, whether literally or figuratively, in a chair growing in their faith, or maybe having faith, that have stepped off the track, that aren't running the race anymore. There's empty chairs in here that didn't always used to be empty. Students, loved ones that you know, people that you know in your life who were at some point running the race and then fell away. We all know those people. And I got news for you. You're going to know more of them as you get older. But I challenge you to have no regrets. I challenge you to have no regrets. I challenge you to not be the person that says, I wish I would have figured that out sooner. Because I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. I've heard it from students who have come through and graduated. I've heard it from students that are in here as seniors on senior moments, stand up here and literally say, I wish I would have gotten involved more when I was here, and I wish I would have put more into my faith. And next thing you know, they walk away and they've fallen away. It's frustrating. And the other reason it can be frustrating is because, statistically speaking, this will be some of you. I want to be very wrong on this. But statistically speaking, it's 60 to 70%, if not higher, will walk away from their faith after they graduate. Don't wait. Don't wait. On behalf of your future spouse, on behalf of your future kids, on behalf of yourself, on behalf of your relationship with God that hopefully exists now, but maybe you haven't taken that next step. Maybe you're not taking it seriously. Don't wait. But this is not an easy race, guys. I'm telling you, the Christian life is probably, I'm not going to paint it rosy, it's one of the, if not the, toughest thing you will ever do in your life. But it's worth it. It's worth the race. I remember, what was it, 6 years ago, Mike? 6 years ago, Mike ran a 50-mile race. 50 miles on purpose, right? How many times do you have to change shoes?
I change shoes twice.
Yeah. I don't like driving 50 miles, let alone running 50 miles on purpose. Man, and you weren't like running from anything, or like if I was running from something, I would still die. But, you know, or even like, you know, chasing a ball or something, but phew, correct me if I'm wrong, is one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life.
Yes.
I remember you saying that. But even that doesn't compare to how difficult living the Christian life can be. It's not easy. It takes work. It takes daily work. It takes commitment. But the reason that 60 to 70% of you will walk away from your faith and will walk away from church is because we've never really maybe had a real Christ-centered view of what faith really is. Because we are thinking that faith is attached to the things that we do. Life gets hard. Sin gets a hold of us. Sin makes us stupid. Amen? Sin makes us stupid. I'm a poster child for that. But we weren't prayed up. We weren't allowing ourselves to be discipled and to grow in our faith. And when those tough times hit, we fall back because our view of God, our view of faith, maybe wasn't properly put together from the beginning. Because, like we said last week, we had fun, but we never took it too seriously. Have fun, but don't take it too seriously. Let's make sure we get the t-shirt, but let's not take it too seriously. If you want to keep the faith, if you want to finish the race, let me ask you to ask yourself, what is it that slows you down? What is it that's slowing you down? What is it that keeps you from running? What is it that weighs you down? It's different for all of us. Maybe your faith, the person, hypothetical person we're talking about, their faith slipped because they moved in with their boyfriend or girlfriend and they knew that they shouldn't, because the Bible's pretty clear on things like that, about what's best for us. And that was a thing that maybe they started partying again, hanging with the wrong crowd, Proverbs 13:20, right? And they started slipping back into doing the things that they shouldn't because they were just having fun, but they weren't taking it too seriously because it wasn't something they ever truly, truly bought into, because it was just something that we did, not something that we were, not something that we are. I want to challenge you guys. I don't want this to be coming down on you, so I hope this doesn't sound like it. I'm challenging you guys to take it seriously. Take it seriously because it matters. It really does matter. When the tough times hit and the world seems to be completely pitch black and everyone else is telling you that you're crazy and that you should be doing this, you have to know that God knows what's best and that he is in control. And when we forget that, in those times when we can't see him, and we can't see him working, and we can't see him moving, that's when things start to fall apart. And he's telling you to do something that everybody else says is crazy. He's telling you to push forward, and everybody else says you're stupid. And truly, it's maybe just a test of your faith, your real faith. But if you never really had a real relationship with him, and you never took it seriously to begin with because you were just having fun, then how would you know the difference when those times came? How would you know the difference between what is really buying in to my faith and what is just having fun and not taking it too seriously? Is he all right? Yeah, that's what I thought. If we take our faith seriously to begin with, and we maybe take this moment tonight, here, now, and every day to say, I'm going to take my faith seriously today. And just take it a step at a time. Just take it a day at a time. The difference it can make can be tremendous. And your faith story will be something incredible. So yeah, my connection point is already here and we're ending a little bit early because I want to do something tonight. I want to ask you, what will your faith story be? What will your faith story be? You may not know right now. Maybe you can quantify yourself as somebody that has just had fun, but hasn't taken it too seriously. Let me tell you who did that. This guy. Big time. I was exactly that guy in high school. I was exactly that guy. And you know what? I regret it. I regret it big time. I'm like that meme that you see of that dude with the tattoo that says no regrets. Seen that one? But I have those regrets about not taking my faith seriously at this stage in my life. Boy, it would have saved me from some really stupid stuff. And it would have given me a rock to lean on when I really needed it. I had it there in the form of other people and awesome godly parents. But man, I maybe wouldn't have made some of the stupid decisions that I did if I would have done more than just had fun and take it to and not take it seriously. My purpose for coming to church was basketball. That was why I came on Wednesday nights. So I'd go up in the gym. Yes, this gym. It had carpet. It was weird. And I just played basketball all night. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't care about any of this. I feel like that's, in some respects, that may be some of us in here, in some way, shape, or form. And it might just be because we don't care enough and we're comfortable in the pitch black. We get too comfortable in the pitch black because we haven't really taken a risk. We haven't really, really said that my faith is going to be the most serious thing in my life. That I come to church, yeah, to have fun and all of those things, but to grow closer to the Lord as my number one priority. Whatever that looks like. And so I want to ask us all, or maybe not all, but if you're willing, you don't have to necessarily do this. But I'd like everybody to stand if you could. I want everybody to stand. And this might be a little bit uncomfortable for a minute. And you don't have to participate in this. I realize that this moment may not be for everybody. You may still be searching. You may still be asking questions. You may still not even be sure that you have faith and all of those things. But if you would consider yourself a follower of Jesus, I want to ask you to take it seriously for a minute. To take it seriously for just a minute. And to pray. But I want you to demonstrate that, not for me, but for yourself and before the Lord. To maybe recommit to taking it seriously and what that is going to look like. And so, yeah, this is going to be awkward for a second. Because if you're willing, these chairs make a perfect chair for kneeling and praying. I come down here probably once a week, and I kneel at that chair and pray for you guys. Would you be willing, in just a second, to turn around, kneel, and pray? Not everybody has to. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, I get it. I don't want anybody to feel pressure. I know it's awkward. But if you'd be willing to turn around and pray and just recommit to the Lord, to take it seriously, and to recommit to your faith and finding His purpose, His will for your life, even in those moments where it's pitch black. So let's all bow and let's pray. And I want to give everybody just a couple of minutes to pray. And I'm going to pray. And in a few minutes, I'll close us in prayer. And we'll end the night. And if you want to know more about having a relationship with Jesus, we can talk about that as well. And again, if you're not comfortable with this, that's okay. I get it. But I think we should demonstrate physically our faith in the Lord. Let's pray.